This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on August 4th, 2011. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
The next item on our agenda is the draft advisory opinion 2011-14, requested by Utah Bankers Association and Utah Bankers Association Action PAC by their counsel, Kirk Jowers and Matthew Sanderson. Mr. Sanderson is here with us. Should the commission have questions? Vice Chair, I believe we have a late submitted document in this matter.
Yes, thank you. I move to suspend the rules on the timely submission of agenda documents in order to consider the late submission of agenda document numbers 11-46, drafts A and B.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 5-0. Mr. Stefanovic, please proceed when ready.
Thank you, Chair Bowerly. Good morning, Commissioners. Agenda document 11-46 responds to a request for advisory opinion filed on behalf of the Utah Bankers Association and its separate segregated fund, the UBA Action PAC. UBA Action PAC is planning to implement a project named Friends of Traditional Banking, which will solicit individuals in the general public via email and the project's website to make contributions directly to certain recommended federal candidates. The request asks 6 questions about the proposed project. There are 2 drafts before you. Both of the drafts, labeled as Draft A and Draft B, conclude the following. The project's communications would not result in in-kind contributions to federal candidates because they would not be coordinated communications. The proposed method of funding the project's administrative and communication costs is permissible under certain conditions. 3, employees of affiliated state bankers associations may serve on the project's leadership councils as part of their regular employment responsibilities under certain conditions. 4, individuals who are not employees of the state bankers associations may serve on the councils in their personal capacities as volunteers. 5, members of the councils may forward the project's email solicitations to their personal friends and acquaintances. And 6, the project need not add any disclaimers to its email and website communications beyond those proposed in their request, but it will need to revise the proposed disclaimer language. The 2 drafts diverge on the application of a prior advisory opinion, 2007-10, the Reyes opinion. The commission received 1 comment on the advisory opinion draft. I will be happy to address any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you, Council. Is there a discussion from commissioners or questions for Council or the quester? Commissioner Peterson.
Yes, if we could invite a requester's counsel to the table, I have a few questions.
Mr. Sanderson, please join us.
Good morning, Mr. Sanderson.
Good morning.
You submitted some comments yesterday raising some concerns about the Commission's drafts on the question of whether or not UBA APAC would have to list affiliated state bankers association. I guess if affiliated state bankers associations supply funds to the Utah Bankers Association to defray administrative costs, or if they an employee of an affiliated state bankers association were to serve on one of the councils in a paid capacity, that would require UBA APAC to have to amend its statement of organization and to change its name accordingly. And you brought up a number of advisory opinions that certainly made me start to look at this from a little bit of a different perspective. And I'm just, since this did come in late, we're, I think, all of us still grappling with this to one extent or another. Kind of walk us through and flesh out why you think that these prior advisory opinions, including 1995-12, dealing with the Independent Bankers Association of America, why those wouldn't dictate the outcome that the 2 drafts that we currently have before us otherwise conclude.
Well, so our point was we had 2 main points. One was that we don't think that the state-affiliated state bankers association should be considered connected organizations under 100.6. Our second point is even if it is considered even if these state bankers associations are considered connected organizations, that under a separate regulation, those associations' names should not have to be included in UBA APAC's name. So as for the first point, if you look at 100.6B, there's an exception for members of corporate members of trade associations, and they're exempted from the definition, essentially, of connected organizations. Our view was that at least the only place where the commission has really addressed this or seemed to at least confront this type of issue was in the advisory opinion with the Independent Bankers Association and the state-related PAC. And in that advisory opinion, it specifically contemplated that the state bankers associations would use staff time to distribute solicitations to their restricted class. And so it's similar, and that would be similar to what is being proposed here, in that staff time would be used to conduct solicitation activities or basically conduct administrative tasks for an affiliated PAC. And they said the commission said at that time specifically that any of the SIBAs, which is how they were referring to the state bankers associations, could send a solicitation to the eligible personnel urging them to make voluntary contributions to any of the SIBA PACs. Now, it doesn't specifically address this issue, but I think it is notable that nowhere in the opinion does it require a state bankers association, one of these SIBAs, that does this activity to be listed as a connected organization of the PAC for which the affiliated PAC for which it solicits. So in our opinion, that in the trade association context, you start with this more flexible interpretation of 100.6B, and then in our view, that had already been addressed somewhat and that issue had been confronted, and the commission had chosen not to require affiliated state bankers associations to be considered connected organizations.
And on that front, I mean, there are some real practical concerns about an outcome. I mean, as I was thinking about this issue a little bit more over the last day or so, I, to my mind, there are some real practical difficulties that could arise if we say that if we were to go forward with one of these, you know, one of the drafts on this question. First of all, let me ask, do you anticipate that the membership of the advisory council and the traditional banking council will be somewhat fluid, that you'll have people who will serve on for a time, step down, will be replaced by other personnel? So it could be a fairly fluid situation in terms of who's serving on these respective councils.
Certainly, yes, that will be the case, and it's anticipated by our client that at first it won't be all set in one group, that they will come on and serve, you know, in a piecemeal. They'll sign on in a piecemeal process. So it will be, you know, maybe they'll start with a core group of 10, and then one will be added every few months. So you're right that there are some practical considerations, and that's one of the main reasons why we address this issue.
Because you could have, in your request, you mentioned that employees of affiliated state bankers associations, they may be requested to serve on these councils. So, for example, you could have, you know, let's say employees from state bankers associations in Arizona, Idaho, Colorado, serving on one or more of these councils. And under the draft AOs, the Utah Bankers Association would then have to amend its statement of organization to list those state bankers associations as connected organizations and rename the PAC to reflect that.
Right. And certainly, as we noted, just because even if the commission were to say that these affiliated state bankers associations are connected organizations under 100.6, that wouldn't necessarily dictate that the that UBA APAC had to rename itself and include a new State Bankers Association in its name. I think that specifically when you look at, there is an exemption under that rule for if a subsidiary starts a PAC, establishes a PAC, then the subsidiary can name, if it's a connected organization, can include only its name and can exclude the name of its parent and the other subsidiaries under that organizational umbrella. Now, the UBA is not technically a subsidiary, but it does exist under the same organizational umbrella, so it is a subordinate type of organization. And so given that the commission has applied this naming rule, this exemption for subsidiaries, I guess, flexibly to include to organizations that aren't technically subsidiaries of any organization, and given the disclosure interests at play, the purpose of the naming rules in particular is to give the public an idea as to, what the purpose of the PAC is, who's behind it, who's funding it. And one of our other points is that although some of these affiliated state bankers associations may provide some funding for this specific project, and they may provide employee support for this specific project, by and large, this will be a relatively modest part of UBA APAC's overall activities, and the source of funding for UBA APAC and the source of employee support will still be UBA. And so I think given the disclosure interests at issue and that undergird this rule, we feel that it would be better, even if it is considered a connected organization, that the UBA PAC, UBA APAC, not need to change its name.
Okay, but under the drafts as put out by the commission, you feel like that flexibility is not built into these drafts. And if we were to approve the drafts as is, you would be in the position of having to change your name every time there was a changeover in the membership of one or both of these councils.
Exactly, and that was one of the main reasons we raised them.
So you could have, for example, I think I said, Arizona, Idaho, Colorado. What if there were some employees from, those bankers associations, and then they were replaced by employees from the Washington, Oregon, and California Bankers Association? All of a sudden, you would have to change your connected organization, update your statement of organization to list those associations as connected organizations, change your name, which presumably would require you to change stationery, websites, change your disclaimers. So after reading through your comments, I could see the real practical difficulties that we may be imposing on the requester if we don't build in a little bit more flexibility on this front. Now, going back to the issue of connected organization, there are some other AOs as well. I believe a couple from 1995, 1995-28, which is the American Healthcare Association AO, and then I think 1995-17, which was the National Association of Realtors, both of which talk about that members of a trade association could donate money to the entity that is administering the PAC to defray the costs of the PAC, of operating that PAC, the establishment, administrative and solicitation costs, and that doesn't trigger any sort of a connected organization status for those organizations that are making those contributions or those donations, correct? So this isn't, we're not dealing with a foreign con, we're not basically between those AOs and the AO that you mentioned about the Independent Bankers Association, we're not really breaking new ground here, are we? If we were to modify our drafts in order to build in a little more flexibility, and to tell you where I am right now, I think that there's a strong case to be made that that any donation of funds from the affiliated state banking associations or the provision of employees from those associations to serve on either the advisory council or the traditional banking council wouldn't translate into them being connected organizations. So, but just to go back to my question, we wouldn't necessarily be breaking new ground if we were to reach this conclusion, would we?
In our view, it would be consistent with past advisory opinions, and we feel that particularly given the circumstances of our client, the continued application of that precedent would be justified, because we're not just talking about, you know, maybe two connected organizations, maybe including two or three names of corporations. It could potentially be, you know, 30, 40, and they might change. So.
And I guess on the flip side, if we were to go forward with the drafts as written, do you think that we might actually be breaking new ground in perhaps an administratively cumbersome way going forward if we were to approve the drafts as written currently?
In the trade association context, I believe the commission has flexibly applied the connected organization definition and the naming rule. And so, yes, I do think that would be a little bit of a departure.
Okay. Thanks.
Further discussion? Can I follow up a couple of questions that you had raised about, I think part of the challenge here is we don't know a lot about what exactly this might look like going forward. You gave us some additional information. I just want to make sure I understand. You said there's potentially 30 to 40 state affiliates who might participate in this program, in this part of this project that is being started by Utah Bankers.
Potentially, yes. We view this as basically the first step to get formal approval or get the obtain the commission's advice on this particular arrangement, and then our clients will start pitching this arrangement to the various state associations. So there's no real way to know exactly how many will be involved, but it is, I mean, they have a number of state affiliates, and so the number could be quite a few.
Okay. You mentioned that this will remain a modest part, I think was your phrasing, of UBA's PAC full activities. Can you just clarify that a little bit for me? We understand this is not going to be a separate entity. This is going to be part of the Utah Bankers Association PAC. But can you just explain to me what the – I guess we're, one of my questions is trying to understand obviously, the commission doesn't have to, you know, the commission can't tell any organization how it should proceed with this particular business, but we're in trying to understand what it's going to look like so we can figure out how these rules apply. It's helpful to have that information if that's something you care to share with us.
Right. Well, in terms of expenditures and administrative costs, this will be relatively modest. And the reason why I say that is the current intention of UBA and UBA APAC is to limit these communications to a website and to an email list. Now, the costs involved in that are obviously relatively modest, particularly compared to making contributions and doing some of the other things that are involved. And so that was my reasoning for saying that it'll be a relatively modest part of the overall organization. Now, it may have we expect that it'll have it'll be a worthwhile project and will be helpful for the organization overall. But it as far if you look at it in terms of costs and expenditures, it'll be relatively modest.
Okay. I think at this point, I hear the practicality part about the naming issue. I'm just have trouble when I run into the statute. Because Commissioner Peterson said he starts at an earlier place with respect to the connected organization. route. I'm not quite sure I'm in the same place that he is on that. One of the things I was thinking about is, you know, these are all affiliated organizations, so they could make transfers amongst each other to cover these costs. That doesn't seem the way – that's not how you're setting it up, correct? You want the affiliates to basically pay the administrative costs by paying for their own employees to participate in the councils?
There is a possibility. Again, this hasn't been really formally pitched to any of these affiliated state bankers associations. So it is anticipated that there could be monetary support, so a transfer from one of the bankers associations to UBA to defray some of the administrative costs. But I think the more likely scenario and probably more important involvement is that the employees of affiliated state bankers associations would be involved in these councils and serving as part of their job. Now, because they're doing that in work time, that'll obviously that is an administrative cost. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it'll be through those two methods, both monetary and employee support.
Thank you. Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have to admit I'm still trying to grapple with this wonderful question of, you know, is there, I asked my daughter just to get, you know, sort of a layperson's view, you know, if she thought there could be a difference between a connected organization and an affiliated organization. And, you know, obviously she didn't have the regs book in front of her, but she didn't think so, just sort of from a plain English sense of the word. But, of course, we have our own little definitions. We're not operating in the plain English world. We're operating in FEC world with all of our regulations. But it is it's a little bit hard to just kind of get my mind around this idea that, well, they're connected, but they're not – they're affiliated, but they're not connected. I think – from my perspective, they're probably both. There are other. I've looked at the other AOs that you cited too, and none of them were exactly like what you want to do. And that's why you're here, because you want to do something that's a little bit different from what's been done before. Now, we could extend principles that we've that the Commission has announced in previous AOs under slightly different facts, or not. That's, you know, the fact that somebody in 1995 came in with an advisory opinion request and the Commission was silent on a particular issue, I think there's not a lot you can read from that as a precedential matter that, you know, therefore the Commission approved something because they didn't mention it. You know, maybe they didn't think of it. I'm not sure any of us were really focused in on that this particular issue until we got your comment last night. And what strikes me as odd about this is that this is none of these other state organizations would be really in any sense of the word subsidiaries. You say it's not technically a subsidiary. They're not in any sense of the word subsidiary of the Utah Bankers Association, which is the name that would be on the organization. And they're not members of the Utah Bankers Association, which is, you know, you look back at the other AOs, they talk about subsidiaries or members or associate members or functional equivalents of those, to use another term that I think is not used in the previous AOs. But these are more like peers rather than subsidiaries or members of the organization. And I think there actually would be a loss of disclosure if the Utah Bankers Association is doing something and it's being supported by the Wyoming and the Nevada and the California Bankers Associations, and that's not – they're not listed as connected organizations, and they're not identified in the name. I don't think anybody would naturally think that those organizations were subsidizing this PAC. So I think there is a if we were to adopt your proposal, I think there would be a loss of disclosure. Now, that doesn't entirely address the practicalities of the name. And, you know, I was trying to imagine, you know, what if what if all 50 states got involved? How long would this name actually have to be? And would we want to set up a rule that required that? It is possible that I just started thinking about this last night when we got your comment. It is possible that under the regulations as they currently exist, that actually is required, although that seems a little bit unwieldy, to say the least. I think the more typical situation is all these groups would be functioning. This sort of activity more typically, I think, would go on as an activity of the, the American Bankers Association, the one on top, and then one might naturally assume that the American Bankers Association could indeed include, and in fact by definition almost would, groups from all over the country, groups from various states. The wrinkle on this is that you want to do it as an activity of one of the members of the American Bankers Association and only refer to the Utah Bankers Association. So I recognize the practicality issue on the naming issue. I don't see a way to not have them listed on the statement of organizations if they're going to be providing support in the way that you describe. I'm willing to think about, you know, for more than since, you know, 6 o'clock last night, or when we first really started thinking about this. And I appreciate your catching that issue for us. Between 6 o'clock last night and now, I haven't come up with a way to address, to resolve the practicality issue of how many names do you have to actually, how many of these states do you actually have to include in the name. So I don't have an answer for that now. And I don't know whether I would come up with an answer if I thought about it, you know, for another 24 or 48 hours. But I do think you raise an interesting question, and I'm not unwilling to continue to think about it. I'm just not sure I'd come up with a better answer if I did. You know, as I look at the regs now, it seems like maybe you're stuck. You know, but if we thought about it some more, I suppose somebody might come up with a creative solution that might make sense to me. That's just sort of where I am right now. It's not really a question.
Commissioner Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Can I inquire of counsel where we are on the 60-day?
Yes, Commissioner, August 26th will be the 60-day deadline.
August 26th. Okay, and our next open meeting is the 1st of September?
That's correct.
Okay. I guess I'll ask a question first of my colleagues and then a question of Mr. Sanderson, whether or not it sounds like this issue is at least, maybe I'm willing to go further than others, but it sounds like there's at least some interest in trying to find a practical solution with respect to the naming. And that there would need to be some further discussion to hammer out a rationale that we would all feel comfortable with. And if there is interest in doing that and holding that over until the next meeting, or maybe even finding a resolution before then, and we could circulate it on tally. I'm seeing some nods that we could probably do that.
I got the sense that we probably weren't ready. No one was quite ready for votes today on the drafts that exist. To the extent that, you know, perhaps we could resolve it on tally before the 60-day deadline, that would obviously be optimal. I don't know whether it's possible to schedule another meeting before that 60-day deadline, so we might be back to the 1st if we're not able to do that.
And if I could ask Mr. Sanderson, I don't know if you're authorized at this point or whether or not you might have to contact your client, but would you be willing to extend the 60-day deadline in order to enable us to continue our discussion to see if we can find a place where at least four of us can land on this request?
I'm willing to inquire, certainly.
Okay. Would it help for us to take a recess so you could call, or would you want to get back to us at some point in the next day or so, and then we could adjust our schedule accordingly?
Commissioner Peterson, it may be useful for us to try to figure out where. If we can resolve this on tally, obviously we would not need to seek an extension from the requester. Maybe we can try to figure that out in the next week or so, and then counsel can communicate with Mr. Sanderson with respect to.
Okay.
I think we would need, you know, maybe to the third or fourth or some, you know, something around there. Obviously, the giving us a deadline of the day of a meeting is not always as successful as one might be. But if we're able to work it out prior to then, obviously, we wouldn't need an extension at all. If we don't think we're going to be able to, we might need to take it back to a meeting. But again, it might be used. Mr. Sanderson might have more information from us at that point in time as we get closer to the original deadline.
Okay. I think that sounds like a workable solution.
I don't know what time it is in Utah. Not to make have to ask you to call your client at an early morning
prior.
at this very moment. Is there any further discussion? So we will the commission will continue to consider this request. We will provide the respondent with an answer as soon as we're able, and we'll ask our counsel's office, Mr. Stavanovic, to continue to be in communication with you about the status of this request. Mr. Palmer, are there any management? I'm sorry, I nearly forgot. Commissioner Weintraub had asked me for a few minutes of personal privilege. My apologies.
Quite all right. Thank you, Madam Chair. I regret their it's a pretty thin room today, but I did want to note that today is the last meeting at which I will have sitting behind me Sam Brown, who's been working with me for the last 2 years as my counsel and executive assistant. Sam and I sort of met fortuitously, serendipitously, and thought that our working relationship would be very brief. But here we are 2 years later, and he's received a wonderful offer, and so he's going to be leaving the commission, which is a great loss, I think, for the entire commission, but particularly for me. Sam is one of the finest lawyers it's ever been my privilege to work with. And I've worked with some pretty damn good lawyers. He's, you know, a great writer. He's a smart guy. He's incredibly good at anticipating my needs. And in addition to all of his legal skills, he has a trait that is unfortunately becoming increasingly rare in Washington, the ability to argue without being argumentative, to disagree without being disagreeable. He's a super friendly guy, and I don't know anybody who doesn't like him. So he has become a good friend as well as an able colleague, and I know he will be incredibly successful at his new endeavor or at anything else he sets his hand to. But if they don't treat you right, Sam, you can always come back because you'd always have a job with me. So Godspeed, Sam, and thanks for everything.
I'll just echo. I think it's been a pleasure working with you, Sam. Thank you for your service to the commission and for your frequent visits to my office in the candy jar. It's been fun to see you on a day, multi-time-a-day basis. With that, Mr. Palmer, are there any management administrative matters?
Madam Chair, there are none.
All right. Thank you. And thank you as your first official role as our permanent staff director. Congratulations to you. The commission announced yesterday that he would be serving as our official, so we can take the acting off of your nameplate and welcome you permanently. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
With that, our meeting is adjourned.